Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
None. Terrell Edmonds had no business talent-wise being selected in the first round. None. Both of those guys, coincidentally, were seen by most observers of the draft at the end of the day as more second-round pick at best, but probably third-round talents.
I forgot to mention Devin Bush, too, as a first-round disaster.
He's more like Jones in the way that people actually thought he was going to go pretty high in the draft, and he was a first-round pick. Jones, zero people dispute that he was a first-round talent. The Jets would have taken him if the Patriots didn't want to screw them over and were willing to play let's make a deal with the Steelers.
Correct.
There is no arguing that Broderick Jones was two things, extremely talented and very raw relative to actual games played. I think he had like 800-some snaps, or he had, you know, very small number of starts or whatever, eight starts at Georgia. But the potential was there. And they have, and this is, see, I interpreted, I don't know, like, I thought his quote was more like, if I'm not, you know, good enough to start, then just sit me on the bench. I almost thought it was like maybe dissatisfied, but maybe also just giving the coaches like, hey, if, you know, they don't want to start me, that's fine. I just wouldn't, you know, be better off not playing for everybody's sake. I almost didn't hear it as pissed off at the coaches. I don't think I've ever heard Broderick Jones sound pissed off in his life. My problem with this is they drafted the player. I could go find in our audio files Omar Khan saying, we drafted the player to be our left tackle. That is why we picked him. And the head coach and the position coach, who are the only two people I can really cite on this matter, have treated him like an undrafted player, practically, who doesn't deserve any benefit of the doubt. We have both, you especially, have talked to a ton of former players in your career. They all kind of resent first-round picks if they aren't one themselves, who they feel get too many opportunities to fail before they are finally put in the discard pile. Broderick Jones is the rare first-round pick who has not been given the opportunity to even try to succeed at the position at which he was drafted. They said, well, the guy's pretty raw. We want to bring him along slowly. So they didn't start him to start the season last year. And then when they finally put him in the lineup, it was at the wrong position. They have treated Dan Moore Jr. like he is the first-round pick who can do no wrong here. To his credit, he has mostly been fine this year. He had a bad holding penalty himself yesterday.
Yep.
But, like, they have acted like Dan Moore has nine lives in the minute Broderick Jones does anything wrong. And I'm not defending his play yesterday. It was one of the worst games I've ever seen a tackle play. He was only out there for 11 offensive snaps. It was like he was trying to make the most of them with bad stuff. But they've treated Dan Moore like he's a cat with nine lives out there. And Broderick Jones, if he so much as looks at Mike Tomlin wrong or Pat Meyer wrong, is getting stapled to the bench. Like, you say it's like FUBAR and they might lose this guy. The worst part is, I think the player still has been, emotionally speaking, like, very level-headed in public about this. No, I learned nothing sitting on the bench. No, like, whining. He said, they call it, I haul it. That's like a folksy way of saying, hey, they tell me what to do, I go out and try to do it. We know he's been playing through some small injury or some maybe significant injury to his elbow, and they just won't even give the guy the chance or the time of day. It's like he's in the doghouse despite not doing the things that usually get a player put in the doghouse.
So you're blaming this way more on them than you are Jones himself. You're not putting the onus on the player whatsoever.
He does not deserve any kind of free pass for yesterday. Because ultimately, you could say, like, they're playing him at the wrong position. They are. He did start 11 games at right tackle last year and showed real potential. Their running game got going. Like, I'm not going to make excuses for him. But how many times has he even repped as a left tackle at practice? Very few.
One this week, I can think of.
I guess I'm hopeful that, like, what are we to think here? That if Fautanu hadn't gotten hurt, that's like the butterfly effect moment for this year, that they might have been planning on Fautanu starts and just takes every rep at right tackle, and then Jones goes and battles more? Does Jones maybe go and get placed over more because he is a first-round pick?
Well, by all accounts, Moore was the better player in training camp, so would they have
given him
position because of that?
Wait, how could I evaluate both of them at left tackle? One guy never gets to even try.
I know.
The better player, how do you know? You haven't put Broderick Jones out there, left tackle, and let them go one for one. That's why I blame the team more on
this. Chris Hoke has been very outspoken about Jones and said on the post game again yesterday that he thought Jones came into training camp uninterested. Really made it sound like he thought that he was just going to have it handed to him and given to him. Oh, the GM, he didn't, now Chris didn't say this, but oh, the GM has me ticketed to be a left tackle. I can just strut in here and get the job. It's mine now. Which, if that was his mindset, shame on him. I mean, just because Dan Moore stinks and you are much better than him doesn't mean that you shouldn't like work at it to get better. The right now, I am absolutely empathetic to the way that they have treated him and handled him, but his play it's been so bad that it leaves me speechless. Now, it was good against Atlanta. I didn't think he deserved to be benched. And it is unorthodox and weird to come off the bench, but how are you that bad when you come in? That looked like the guy in the Buffalo preseason game who was borderline unplayable.
He looked a step slow and desperate on both holds, especially the one, like, I also heard people say, and this is wild because they're trying to defend him, and I'm easily his biggest cheerleader as far as, you know, I wanted him drafted, everything else. Both of those holds were blatant. Both of them helped the play significantly. Fields probably doesn't get the ball off to Pickens if he doesn't.
And I would actually give him more leeway if he had been practicing all the time at left tackle and then they threw him in at right tackle and he hadn't repped it in a while and struggled there. I would be more likely to stick up for him. But he's been practicing so much at right tackle, so he should not look like a fish out of water there, or he should not look like he's in over his head at that position. I get that it's not his natural position, but he proved last year that he could play over there. Yes, my preference is for him to be a left tackle, and he should be there, and the Steelers deserve hell for the way that they've moved him, not so much even back and forth flip-flopping, but basically just stuck him at right tackle. So I'm not trying to let Mike Tomlin off the hook.
No, but wasn't good, and he's played the position enough that we should expect more.
And that is the bigger concern for me. What if the guy is just not a good player?
But again,
what if they swung and missed because?
But that goes against the fact that we just got done saying he had been pretty good for more than half a season there. It is non-natural position. Like I can't chalk that up to he's not a good player. He actually acquitted himself more than fine, I thought, last year as a 22-year-old. Playing his off position. I see bad play. I don't hear anything that suggests he hates their guts. I've seen more good play in balance than bad when he's actually been out there in games that count. But I don't see a path forward here right now. It would have to take Dan Moore getting Justin Fields almost killed, I think. Probably 2 or 3 weeks in a row for them to go to Jones. But they just seem completely disinclined to even give him a sniff. And he doesn't deserve one at right tackle after yesterday. I thought Fautanu was fine when he ended up playing all the reps. I don't know where you go from here.
This is a disturbing trend. That means they have benched their first-round pick in the player's second year 2 years in a row. And now it sounds like we're saying that in both cases, Kenny and Broderick Jones, it's actually justifiable.
Well, it was definitely justifiable for Kenny because he was probably in over his head from moment one. He didn't have a good coordinator, but he himself didn't have the tools. What I want to stress bothers me is that they drafted a guy with the tools, the kind of player you should draft 15th overall and trade up to go get, because he could be a franchise cornerstone at left tackle because he's that athletic and that good and that pedigreed, and they have treated him like an athlete.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
After Roderick got on the field, he committed 3 penalties, which really kind of killed that drive. Is that the reason why he didn't go back on the field?
You got it.
It's all right, you know. Everybody has ups and downs. You just got to continue to battle and just try to come out the right side of it. So that's how I'm looking at it. That's how I see it. So, you know, I'm going to continue to look at it that way. I'm not looking at it as a punishment or anything. You know, you just got to continue to get better.
All right, so that's a Broderick Jones answer that makes him feel like he's got the right attitude about being benched, but that still doesn't take away from the fact that he has been benched in year two.
I have an idea.
As a top 15 pick, yeah?
I have an idea. If he's been benched, which he has been, and Fautanu, PFF, I think, generally liked Fautanu. You know, good and pass pro. I thought he just looked active, okay? You know what I want? Truly make him your number two left tackle. Broderick Jones should go out and rep with the twos at left tackle. If you have benched him and he is in the clearly in Tomlin's doghouse, go let him at least start to get reps with Kyle Allen or eventually Russell Wilson or whoever it might be at the position he was originally intended to play. Enough with the he put him at right tackle. Let him be the backup left tackle so that if and when Dan Moore becomes the Dan Moore we all know he is, you maybe can at least consider putting the guy in the game. But it makes me think they're probably just going to put him back at right tackle.
I'm just worried that their evaluation on offensive linemen is pee poor, urine poor, piss poor, okay? Because Fautanu looks good, and I think Frazier looks really good. So I'm going to give them right now early returns. I'm very excited about both of those guys. They gave Chooks $30 million. That guy just quit in New England yesterday.
Yeah, like he's done playing football.
They played Kevin Dotson out of position. They started Dan Moore from day one as a fourth round pick. They started Kendrick Green from day one as a third round pick.
I think Tomlin loves guys that
so
battle.
It's so frustrating how they've invested in the offensive line and they just don't get return on it.
I think the guards are pretty good when they're both healthy. Like, I don't think they identified bad players in Daniels or Seumalo. I want somebody to know.
Well, they've already made the decision pretty much not to re-sign Daniels. Is that smart?
I know, but
he
I don't
think he doesn't have a contract for next year.
I think they like McCormick a lot.
Well, they like Broderick Jones enough. They like Broderick Jones a lot, Chris. They like Chooks Okorafor a lot. Who the hell cares if
I need to figure out what it is that Broderick Jones did that clearly got him on Mike Tomlin's bad side. Because I'm done trying to figure out what Dan Moore did to get him on Mike Tomlin's good side. Fought really hard to get a spot on the team, on the roster. I mean, think of how insane it is that a guy who seasoned observers like Kabali were telling us, and I mean Dan Moore here, was like not an NFL player early on in his first pro practices. They were just like, the guy doesn't look like, I think Ed Bouchette even said,
thought he was going to get cut.
Looks like he doesn't even belong in the NFL. Tell me how that guy has started from day one of his rookie year at left tackle, and yet the first round pick, they won't even let take snaps over there.
Jones, if I'm not starting, I don't really feel like I should be playing. That's the quote coming out of this game. 412-928-9370. Here's Dylan in New Stanton. Hello, Dylan.
Hey, guys. First time caller here.
Great.
I love your guys' show.
Thank you, Dylan.
Best show in the world. I love everything about Chris. Love you, too. You the man. And I just appreciate you guys. I did want to talk about Broderick Jones.
Sure.
One thing is, I'm wondering if one reason they're hesitant to put him on the left side is with Seumalo hurt and Anderson in there being young, Frazier young. That whole left side would be real young. And Chris, you kind of just stole my thunder of, I was going to say, hey, they need to give him reps on the left side, make him, you know, I don't care if it's second string left tackle, get those reps there because sooner or later, he's going to go.
Honestly, it would be a slap in the face because it would mean he can't beat out Dan Moore, which clearly he can't right now in their eyes. But it would be the first thing they've done, putting him at backup left tackle in practice and having him do all his reps there, it would be the literal first thing they have done to him to try to set him up for success. Hello, we drafted you because we think you can literally be a 10-year left tackle. Now you get to actually start playing the position a year and a half into your pro career.
Tom in Bethel Park. Hello, Tom.
Yeah. I was, the coach knows when you come in with an attitude, Broderick Jones, when he come in, the coach is the first one to know who got the attitudes on the team or whatever.
Yeah.
So I believe that, Broderick Jones, so he's not playing in position. You got to play out of position. But the attitude adjustment, he'll come around.
What about his
Tomlin
attitude has been visibly
Tomlin
bad to you?
Tomlin or straighten
Tom,
his
what
attitude
about, Good. What about his attitude has been bad?
Well, just the way he interviewed today about, you know.
What did he say that was really bad?
He had a bad game yesterday. He stunk.
Okay, and he said, I'm not going to look at it as a punishment. I'm going to try to get better. What should he have said? What should he have said that would make you think he had a good attitude?
Well, about not playing.
What was wrong with that?
Don't play me. Don't play me.
He didn't say don't play me. He said, if I'm not starting, I don't think I should be playing. And I had people who were in that locker room say that that has been misconstrued.
What about being ready? What if someone gets hurt and, you know, he got to come in? So, what, you know, isn't he supposed to be ready to play a position?
He was. They put him in the middle of a game because Chooks mouthed off, and he was their best offensive lineman last year.
You know, that drive started from the one-yard line.
Yeah, I'm aware, and he sucked on that drive. Yes, I'm aware.
They had a good drive going until it was killed by penalties.
Okay, you're telling me, okay, fine. I said he had a bad game. What does that have to do with his attitude?
Tom, his
attitude, because...
You haven't given me a shred of evidence that his attitude's bad yet. You've just talked in circles.
Because the way they're treating him.
Well, I mean, Chris Hoke makes it seem like the guy's got a bad attitude. He said he showed up uninterested for camp. That's Chris's evaluation.
Okay.
That's one.
I would tell
one
put it
piece
this
of
way.
Evidence.
You'll
here.
Notice if Chris said that, I wouldn't be like, Chris, give me evidence because Chris played in the league. I've got a guy there just saying he's got a bad attitude, and then when I ask him why does he have a bad attitude, tell me why. He has literally nothing to say.
I don't understand how you can say in one breath the guy has a bad attitude and then just say, well, the Steelers will fix that and figure it out. Did they fix Chukwuma Okorafor's attitude? Where he's reportedly getting into it with Matt Canada at halftime of a game, and then he's mouthing off on the sidelines and getting himself benched? Do they have a great history of fixing guys' attitudes? If he does have an attitude problem.
I'm sure Mike would point to George Pickens this year so far being in a good mood.
That's a good one.
Say, look at what I've done.
That music means it's time for Donnie Football's Game Balls. They shockingly do not have a sponsor, so if you like a segment where we hand out awards... Donnie specifically handing out the awards for big-time performances in Steelers games. Well, then get your company's name on this right now. The Debrief has a sponsor. Let's see if Donnie can make it a second sponsored segment here between now and the end of football season. Plenty of time. We're only in week two. All right, so last week, Boswell, Watt, and Dante Jackson got the three game balls. Let's see who picked up those big balls in week two.
The third one. We can work from 3-1, I think, this week. It's not as obvious as what last week was, considering Boswell scored every single point for the Steelers in week one. I really do want to give one to both punters and just have them split that third ball. Just split that third ball right down the middle.
So just punters.
They get the third ball. Corliss Waitman, 53 yards per punt. Riley Dixon, 52.5 yards per punt. And they had some work, especially in that second half, our buddy Corliss did. They were kicking it right through that thin air at 53 yards a pop.
Pinned him deep after the Steelers went three and out on their last offensive drive of the game. He kicked there. It's easy to kick in Denver. Presley Harvin, I think, somehow would have found a way to screw things up and shank one. Waitman didn't. So far, so good with him. He's not Cam Johnston, but he looks like he's solid.
He is a league average punter, it appears, through 1 week back with the Steelers, and that is all I could possibly ask for out of him.
Next.
Second one goes to Deshaun Elliott. 9 tackles yesterday, had a huge tackle for loss on a third down and one play. He was around another. I thought he may have had 2 tackles for loss because he was right around the play on another one, and he got on the play.
Yeah, I thought he got nicks on one. He definitely got Javonte Williams like an absolute bullet coming in.
I have really liked the early returns on him. I know Chris and I were in lockstep, as we are with some things, when we said this guy could be one of their more underrated, maybe the most underrated signing they had. He's been really solid through the first 2 games and was really good yesterday.
Good instincts as a player, and he's very decisive. What they're at, I mean, I think we had, was it somebody in Baltimore? We had somebody out there. I don't know if it was a national analyst or what, who said the Steelers signing him is going to end up being one of the really, really good signings a team makes, because the guy's, you know, just rock solid, basically. A way better version of like a Terrell Edmonds, where he's going to go out there, play strong safety, and hit everything that moves.
Best defensive offseason pickup thus far. I think better than Patrick Queen. I will say his best play, where he shot through the backfield and made a tackle, I thought was more Denver screwing something up and just not blocking a guy than anything else. But you're noticing him. Denver couldn't run the ball. The safeties are coming down. They're not thinking that Bo Nix is going to beat them over the top. So he understood the assignment, be a strong safety that makes a big difference in the run game. He had the interception in week one. Yeah, I think
playmaker.
Two games in, I feel like they took a position that was not by any means like a terrible one or a liability, but they've made it even better this offseason. So Elliott gets his first game ball of the season. And then the number one game ball, Don.
Darnell Washington, Matt Washington. The man just destroys people in the run game. I like how they actually have he and Pruitt split. Like, they both get a good bit of snaps. I think they both got around 25 yesterday. And both of those guys can block well, which is the big knock against Freiermuth. And not only did he do that, first career touchdown, and what was a very easy-looking pitch and catch. They just said, you know what, let's put this mountain of a human being, this guy who is about 6'8", let's go ahead and toss him out there on an island against a corner, and we'll see how that goes.
He's listed at 262. What do you guys think he actually weighs? I bet you he's very close to 290. He is a mountainous
human. I was going to say like a 6'8", 280.
Like 285. I mean, they were cutting up highlights of him on the broadcast, and he was bullying defensive ends the way good offensive linemen are supposed to. Just down-blocked one guy completely into oblivion. Anything you get from him in the passing game is a bonus. But you know what I really liked? You said pitch and catch. The man made a hands catch there, dude. That wasn't like bringing it into the body and like cradling it. That was big paws are out there, and he's snatching that football out of the air.
I don't think the hands are what holds him back as a receiving tight end. I just don't think he naturally moves well.
He's not fluid enough to get open, though.
So those types of plays where it's short space and he's just got to use his size. I mean, it wasn't like it was a jump ball to him, but those types of plays with somebody where he has a bigger target radius, if you will, I do think he can be more successful red zone player than he's been thus far in his career. Here he is after the game talking about how he's more than just someone who runs people over.
I feel like, yeah, you know, I feel like that play showing, just giving coach the confidence, you know, just believing me a little bit more, you know, doing it on Sundays and, you know, just giving him more confidence to draw more plays up or whatever he do and things like that.
One of the things I was surprised about when I looked at the snap counts for that game, The Steelers used three wide receivers more than they used two tight ends. Calvin Austin played more than Darnell Washington yesterday. I don't get that. That doesn't make any sense to me. You're in Denver. You know they can't beat you because they have Bo Nix at quarterback. I thought it was going to look very similar to Atlanta, where we saw them just roll out the three tight end look and a ton of Darnell Washington and just dominate the line of scrimmage. But
to be fair, Washington and Pruitt played one and two snaps fewer than Austin, respectively. So it's not like they didn't. It's not like it was lopsided. Austin had 30.
Okay, but just sell me on the idea of Calvin Austin playing 30 snaps.
Oh, well, and you can get a blocking wide receiver like Austin into the lineup. I think you have to do that.
Skoranek, I think, was a candidate for a game ball with some of the plays he made on special teams, Donnie.
He was a good special teams player. A nice little find. Was he on that Rams Super Bowl team?
He was. Yeah. He actually played a lot in the Super Bowl after Odell Beckham Jr. tore his ACL. Donnie's game balls, 3-1. Punters, 2. Deshaun Elliott, and 1. Darnell Washington.
God, that punters one is just... What a sad commentary.
God, that honestly sounds like a Donnie... That sounds like a game ball list from a preseason game.
The punters, Deshaun Elliott, yeah?
And Darnell Washington. Donnie, your thoughts on what we're watching with Broderick Jones?
I think they've completely mangled this. Now, yeah, the player could be better, absolutely, and he could be more ready to go. There's a reason why you see when you watch the games, then also people love to pull up the snap counts, as we were just doing with some of the personnel. There's a reason why the guys besides the quarterback, the only ones that play every single snap are the offensive linemen, because barring injury, they don't do any sort of position by committee type thing. They don't. It doesn't matter what the personnel is on the field. It should be those same five guys. Nobody liked that idea. Everybody expected it to fail yesterday, and it did. And luckily, Fautanu was ready to go. Because
it's also
he
a disservice to Fautanu.
Well.
I don't think it's fair for either guy.
No, absolutely not. I mean, but luckily, one of them was able to play at a serviceable, and I thought even a little bit better than that level. Let's not act like there's no precedent here either with how badly they handle some of the linemen they have. Now, Kendrick Green, I don't think he's going to be claiming any all-pro statuses as of late, but we saw firsthand last season when he was put in the right position in Houston, he looked like a much better player than what he was here. Kevin Dotson did get to a level where he looks like an all-pro player. He goes to the Rams. He becomes, for a short time, the highest-paid guard in football. He turned into what people hoped he would here. And
isn't
he did
their
so
best
in the
lineman?
Midst of a season. Yes.
Well, they only have like one healthy
True.
Lineman now, so by default, I think
he is. I think
they
only have like 10 healthy players.
He turned into a borderline great player.
No, I know. Well, his big sin here, beyond the fact that they played him out of position, was Tomlin didn't like that he talked a fair amount, that he was speaking openly about things.
Well, that gets back to the Hoke thing about Jones being uninterested in training camp. Okay, that's not a good look that a guy in year two would, in the team's mind, look uninterested. How do you get him interested? Like, I do think the onus, some of that falls back on the offensive line coach and the head coach. And the offensive coordinator, who, by the way, has a big offensive line background.
I mean, here's what I would be doing.
Get him interested.
Here's what I would be doing. I would do this with him. I said I would go and rep him as the true backup left tackle, as much as it like makes me want to vomit saying that Dan Moore has to be the starter for now. And then if you want to try to like piecemeal it out and see how he does with limited action, start coming up with some jumbo extra offensive lineman stuff near the goal line and be like, your job is to wipe people out here. We're going to get, you might get five snaps a game. They better be five kick-ass snaps.
I just think that Darnell Washington now does that.
That. Like I know.
The nipple rubber has been removed.
Because you have
the
a guy who's basically as big as
to
one
me.
Of them. I understand that, but what else are you going to do? I mean, the thing that no one really says as loudly as they should is they seem like in love with Dan Moore at left tackle. And I don't know why. Because you can go back and look at the tape or look at the PFF grades or look at both. The guy mostly sucked.
Well,
for the last 3 years.
He has found the broken clock has been right already twice a day with him. He's
well, then,
had two solid games.